Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Hi, this is Seth Brand, and you are listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Seth Brand. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Like, it's just cool, man. Like, doing the show and then kind of constantly keep discovering new artists, you know, doing stuff right here in town. Like, it's a lot of fun. So
yeah. Yeah, it's amazing the music scene in St. Louis if you actually go out to shows and like find places to watch live music. The talent here just continues to impress me everywhere I go. It's insane.
There's some serious talent coming out of St. Louis right now. And that's how I try to kind of approach the show, is like I kind of want it to just be like a time capsule kind of thing. Whenever I'm done, I want people to be able to like kind of look at this and like and realize how much amazing music was going on for this, you know, group of years or whatever. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. I was on the site and your episodes, they're 461 or whatever it is. That's so cool. Cool.
Yeah.
We need
man.
More people like you out spreading the word for us local musicians. So
cool. I appreciate that, man. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just trying to document as much as I can. And like I said, there's no shortage of amazing people to talk to. So it's cool to keep, like I said, you know, this allowing me to meet people like yourself that are out here doing it. So
yeah.
So tell me a little bit more, man. Like, where you born and raised here in St. Louis, or
I grew up in a town called Sullivan, Missouri, which is about an hour west of here, actually. So it's a pretty small town. It's like 6,000 people. Mm-hmm. So I grew up out there, and then I ended up going to Webster University for audio production, which is what I do now for a living, and moved up here and been here ever since. I just can't leave.
Yeah. When you start writing music and playing guitar and stuff, when's all that? Was that pretty early or?
Yeah. Well, I guess back in middle school and high school, I was more into sports and stuff for the most part. But then, I guess I was 15. I got my first guitar, and it's kind of a funny story because my brother was the one who mentioned he wanted to learn to play guitar. So my grandma and everybody talked to my uncles who played in bands and stuff, and was going to get him a guitar. And I was like, well, no, I want to play guitar. If he's learning, I want to play. So anyway, they bought us a guitar, and I was the one that ended up sticking with it. And so I was probably about 15, 16 years old. And I played in like some punk rock bands and stuff in high school and did that whole thing. Of course, everybody had guitar players back then, so I had to play bass. So I learned how to play some bass and eventually learned some drums and just kind of kept going with the instruments. And it didn't take long before I wanted to start writing my own songs and recording them and doing all that myself. So I just kind of dove in. Man, with technology and stuff today, you can, get a computer or a little digital workstation and start recording your songs. And so that's kind of how I started, and it took off. I fell in love with it. It became an obsession, and ended up going to Webster and pursuing it. And I've been lucky enough finally to be able to do audio and music stuff and whatever full time. So yeah, it's great.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is, when you started writing these songs, I feel like listening to what you have recorded now kind of falls into singer-songwriter kind of country and little pop influence there. Mm-hmm. There's some different things going on, but it's kind of always, besides playing punk rock bands as a teenager and stuff, was it always the original stuff kind of lended more towards country a little bit, or?
Not really. Yeah. It's funny because I guess I always say I became more of a found myself or more of a real songwriter about 3 years ago when I started writing some stuff. But growing up, I was into rock. I loved like Zeppelin. Rush is like my all-time favorite band. Jimi Hendrix, stuff like that. And then of course I was playing in like punk rock bands and stuff, so I was more of a rock guy, right? I guess growing up. And then I always say I'm glad that I never really did too much with music back then, because then I'd be labeled as like this punk rock guy, and that's not who I am at all anymore. So but yeah, I guess over time, as I started writing my own stuff, I got really into like John Mayer and people like that, and it's just kind of taken these weird twists. And then this last record I just put out, it's got I've heard country a lot, which I've never thought of myself as a country artist, but now I can hear it.
Well,
so
And also, I should be fair, it's more modern country, like,
cool,
because modern country today includes all that. Like, it's essentially pop with a little twang.
Right. Yeah, right.
You got your R&B, you got your rock. Like a Jason Aldean record is a rock record, but
exactly.
He's got a country twang to it, and same with Eric Church and everything else. These guys are rock stars that happen to have a little twang, and
right.
But you listen to like a lot of that stuff. But just modern country today is just like a giant blender of music.
Yeah,
all this different stuff. And it's just kind of, they call it country, but that's same thing with like Jimmy Buffett. Like, they're putting him country. He's been doing the same thing for 40 years, and now he's country music.
Right.
It's like, well, country music went Jimmy Buffett, So
yeah,
they kind of started doing that island stuff with Kenny Chesney and all these guys. And
yeah, no, it's awesome. I think it's, and who knows what I'll be doing for the next album, which I'm already kind of starting to work on.
Right.
I think it's good to expand. And yeah, I mean, you don't want to, like, I don't want to go and record a reggae record next or something like that, off the wall. But I like to expand, and kind of push myself. And I definitely have some songs that I write that are more electric and pop, and then a lot of stuff that comes out is kind of just the Americana singer-songwriter, a little bit of country, So, but I love music so much, I don't really think about what genre I'm writing for. I just write. I'll usually have like an idea in my head, and then I just go with it. It feels good, and I'm a sucker for melody. Mm-hmm. So as long as it sounds cool, I don't really even care what the lyrics are. It just sounds cool, and
I was thinking before I left the house today, I saw on TV this. It's been happening a lot, but like they were Bruno Mars was in the news for, I guess he's in court now for. People, there was a lawsuit against for Uptown Funk. Mm. They were saying it was a ripoff of Zapp and Rogers.
Yeah,
and so like it's there's been a lot of that kind of stuff. Like people saying, oh, this is a ripped off of our song. Or I think Sam Smith got in trouble for a Tom Petty song, right, or something like that. And like anyway, just but there's so much music out there. It's hard to really say like. This is ours or whatever. It's like so many things are, there's only so many guitar chords, so many different melody kind of things we can do where you really separate it. But
yeah,
I was going to ask though, like you ever get into writing and then you're all of a sudden you're like, oh man, that's already, that's a,
oh my gosh. Yes.
That's already somebody else. You think you got a hit going or whatever. And then all of a sudden you realize it's somebody else's.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't even know if I should really point more attention to it, but I've had people come up. There's a song on this album I just put out, Fight or Flight, that I did not even hear it until somebody after a show, I played this song called Perfect Mistake that's on the record, and it's a catchy song, and I've gotten lots of good feedback and stuff with it, but one time somebody after a show came up and was like, hey man, I love that song Perfect Mistake, it sounds a lot like go into the river to pray or whatever, and I was like, wait a minute, it does. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I mean, it happens, and like at the time that had never crossed my mind as I was writing the song, and it's funny, I was just listening to a podcast today with a songwriter who was talking about that same thing. It's so hard to come up with a melody that nobody has ever touched on. I mean, everything's kind of been done, so you put your spin on it, and you just
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think like it's tough, man. You're right. Yeah. There's even like the thing is like we kind of live in that where like people are like looking for that now, and it's like it's been going on forever. Mm-hmm. Like there's all kinds of songs that sound the same. That's kind of going back to kind of country. Like I saw a video like where it took like 10 country songs and they all like follow the same like. Pattern, there's a lot of similarities among, there's just like a formula for a pop country hit or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that, like where people just don't even, some people don't even acknowledge that kind of stuff, but then it's like they'll want to pick on something else, but it's like, it could just be a bass line that kind of sounds the same, or, mm-hmm. It's like, even though everything else is different, they're going to pick up on that kind of. Kind of makes it sound like that. Then.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah. We all have it.
Sure.
It's cool to, use all those, and I don't,
Yeah.
I can appreciate pretty much any music, and
all right.
If it sounds like something else I've already heard, then that's cool too.
But that's kind of crazy though when it gets into your like kind of subconscious. And you don't even realize like, oh yeah, whoops, you're right. That is kind of sound like that or whatever. So.
Yeah. Luckily, they pointed this out after the song was already recorded, and it was like. I don't know if it's luckily, maybe it's unfortunately, but it was like, well, I'm putting it out anyway, so it happens, but yeah.
Well, cool. In Tom Petty's case, I think Sam Smith won him a Grammy now that he's credited on his record, so so it works out
cool.
in some cases to for some people like that work,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, kind of wild stuff, but anyway, like I said, you do have a record Fight or Flight you just recently put out,
mm-hmm.
and available everywhere, iTunes, Spotify, and things, SethBrand.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can head over there and pick up physical copies. So like how did this record come about? How do you get to the point where you're, this is your second record, right? Roots came out a couple of years back?
Yeah, I did an album called Roots probably 4 or 5 years ago now, yeah. I guess, yeah, and like I mentioned earlier, I say it was about 2.5, going on 3 years ago, I kind of really fell into the songwriting thing and started getting serious about it. I would say until then, I was like, I loved music. I've always loved music. It's my passion. But when I wrote Fight or Flight, it's like I fell in love with music, and it became just like this therapy almost for me. So it was good. So the whole album Fight or Flight was written between 2014, November of 2014, and about May-ish of 2015. So it was only like 5 months I wrote the whole album. And I was going through a bunch of stuff at the time. You know, it was the end of a 13-year relationship for me. And
I was gonna say, this seems like there's quite a bit of heartbreak on this record.
Yeah, pretty much the whole thing is heartbreak. Yeah,
I don't know how much. That's kind of what I was gonna get into. Like, I don't know how much of it was true. If you write from a lot of personal experience, I've heard a lot of singer songwriters that are able to just kind of put themselves in somebody else's story and write from there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole
thing is I wrote the song so quick, and before that, when I would sit down to write a song, it would usually take me, like, I'd write like a verse and a chorus, and then I'd put it down for months maybe, and then I'd come back and finish it. And these songs, I was writing them and I was like writing songs in 25-30 minutes flat, just done, you know. So like I actually had something to really write about and say, and that's why I say I fell in love with music. It mm-hmm. became my therapy to get me through some of the stuff I was going through at the time, you know, and I really got plugged into the St. Louis kind of singer songwriter circuit. I started going to open mics, as I was kind of going through my little battle. I remember just looking at my guitar, because I hadn't been playing for about a month or so, because, you know, when you're going through stuff like that, that's the last thing on your mind. But I looked at my guitar and I was like, what would happen if I picked that thing up? And I'm glad I did, and I ended up writing Come Home Tonight, which is the first song I wrote on the record, and it's on the Fight or Flight album. And I was like, I just need to play this. So I remember Googling like open mics in the area, and the Wolf was going on like the next night, which is a Tuesday night. They do open mic out there. I grabbed my guitar and I drove out there all by myself, and showed up, didn't know anybody, you know, hadn't really played anywhere in a long time. And I went up there on open mic and played my song. And at the time, I was going through it, through everything, like this, the passion and stuff that you sing with when you're actually in the middle of whatever you're going through. And like, I was on stage, that was my therapy, man. Like, it was just me up there, like, just releasing. So I made a lot of friends, like, people, I guess, could see that a little bit. And ended up getting in with Steve at the Wolf, who runs the open mic. And I've done some recording and stuff for him now. And I've, you know, played some songwriter showcases out there, and met a lot of people. I think I've played like every open mic in the area since, and that's kind of how it went. And so, like, every week I'd write a new song and go to open mics and stuff.
Is that like that's one thing I do admire about a singer songwriter is the fact that they can like channel that emotion. Like, I mean, you know, this is a very personal thing you're sharing. Obviously, this mm-hmm. is a lot of real stuff on this record. But every time you sing it out live, like, is it like, it's like picking a scab, isn't it? You know, like, you got to like sort of like relive that whole thing over again, right? Like,
yeah, sometimes a little bit, and it's the more time that goes by, the easier it is to. Anytime I play a song, like I kind of do go away. I some people criticize me and keep my eyes closed too much when I sing or whatever, but I can't help it. I kind of do go away. I don't necessarily relive the moment every time.
Well, I mean, but like you kind of have to like you deliver with conviction that like
this, oh absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you still sing with that emotion. Like, this is the first time it's happened.
Yes,
even, you know, it's not just going through the motions of singing a song.
Yeah,
you're still delivering it with passion. Like, this is a real thing, and like, but I don't know. That's like a real difficult thing, I would imagine. But
yeah, man, it's part of my experience, and I think all songwriters, it's something you've gone through, you've learned from your experiences. And so yeah, anytime I'm singing, it's definitely you get into that, you remember that feeling and stuff, and you kind of deliver it. But But at the same time, you know, I've definitely moved on, and I've sure. gained so many cool opportunities and stuff since, and such, you know, great things have happened since, and so yeah, you're in the moment, but you're okay. You know, you're yeah. you're there playing your music, and you're hoping that you connect with people too, and there might be somebody in the audience that really needs to hear that song, or just, you know,
oh, yeah.
helps them, and so it's a good thing, you know. It's great.
We talked off mic a little bit, mentioned Chris Stapleton, and like, and he's a guy, like, some of those songs that he writes are like, you know, there's some super sad stuff in there, and then like he wrote that Sometimes I Cry,
yeah.
and like I watched him, I was fortunate enough to catch him on the way up before he blew up huge, and I got to see him at the Firebird, so I got to see him with
awesome.
Like 300 people in a small venue,
jealous.
And yeah, it was awesome, man. It was and he got to play, and he played that song, and me and my buddy Jimmy were there, and we're like, we're both like jaws on the floor, we're like, man, this was insane, like this guy, I mean,
yeah.
but like such emotion coming out of that song and stuff, and like, and you just like, you know, you just believe it, man. It's like,
right,
you could have sang anything and you're like, I believe any whatever he said, and like it.
Yeah, I think that's something that makes some people a great performer, when you know, I mean, you want to show that emotion, and I mean, you don't want to get there crying on stage or whatever,
right.
but yeah, if you play with emotion and stuff, it'll pull you in. I yeah. love watching those performances of people that can do that.
Yeah,
so.
Man. Well, you want to share a couple tunes. Want to share "Boring Guy," which is the Boring Guy, right? Is the
yeah, the Boring Guy. It's an yeah. autobiography. It's all about me.
Yeah. Well, this is on the record. You can find on Fight or Flight. Yeah. So you want anything around that? Anything around the Boring Guy you want to share?
Yeah, it's kind of, well, it's just a good old foot stomping song, so I figured it'd be cool to just play it from the record so you can hear the whole, you know, the full band kind of deal. And it kind of tells the story of basically everything I was going through, and kind of seeing the upside of stuff, and you know, so yeah, it's a sad song in a fun format, and I'm tricking people into having a good time.
Right.
So. You come to mind when the light settles in the darkness, and everybody's got something to do. Well, I could go and have my fun, or I could keep on walking. Think about a time I was the boring guy coming home to you. Healing heart, oh, I miss her, and darkness, and everybody's got something to do. Well, I could go and have my fun, or I could keep on walking. Think about a time I was the boring guy coming home to you. Life is good when you're free, free to come or go any way that you please. Don't put on a show. Everybody knows it was you who let me go. Flying high, at least I think so. Most days of the week, these trying times have gotten me all wound up, but I'm not losing any sleep most days of the week. Mind when the light settles.
Everybody's got something to do. Well, I could go and have my fun, or I could keep on walking. Think about a time when was the boring guy coming home to you. Yeah, think about a time when was that boring guy coming home to you.
You ever watch Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Back when I was little, yeah.
There's such a great line in there where he's telling him that Robin did this or whatever, and he's like, could you just tell me the bad news in a good way? And he's like,
sure,
let me try that. And he's like, you know, he really beat us bad and all of a sudden, and he's like. That's awful news.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what this song is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always stuck with me. Like, just tell me the good news in a bad way. Bad news in a good way, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you are, even just since that and since like you're talking about earlier too, you're writing like a song a week or whatever. It seems like you're being quite proficient with your writing lately. So you've already wrote a few new ones even just this past couple of weeks. And
on that album, was there 13 songs? There's 13 songs on that album. Those are all written like 5 months, and since probably in the past 2.5 years, I've written like probably close to 40 songs. So I've got enough for a whole another record or two probably. And I just keep going, and so, which is good because it kind of allows me to pick some of the best ones and figure out a direction I want to go, and then once I figure that out, then I'm ready to like start recording it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, you wanted to share a couple of new ones with us today. We played some live acoustic stuff, so these are all brand new, unreleased.
The 10 out of 10 I wrote probably about 2 years ago, two Valentine's days ago, I remember, because at the time I was single, you know, I was freshly single, and I had no interest in dating or anything, but I was on Facebook and social media, and it was Valentine's Day, and I just remember everybody was like, you know, looking for a Valentine, talking about Valentine's Day and all this, and it got me thinking, like, well, what if I wrote a song about the perfect girl? 10 out of 10, you know? So I started doing a bunch of research and interviewing a bunch of women. And no, I'm just kidding. No, I sat down and just, I kind of had fun with it. It was kind of my first song that I think I wrote that wasn't for the Fight or Flight album. It was like right after I'd written all those, let's try a new direction, see what happens. So it's all about finding the perfect girl, and by the end of the song you figure out she's not so perfect, which is what makes her, you know, 10 out of 10. She's got to be perfect this time around. I'm not gonna settle, I will stand my ground. She's got to be perfect if I'm gonna let her. Have a repeat of 10 out of 10. She's got to be perfect. She's gotta be perfect. When I say that I'm looking for the girl who's gonna come along and rock my world, doesn't have to be real sweet, except in the way that she loves me. We're probably gonna drive each other up a wall, no. The good kind of crazy that'll make you wanna fall in love. She's got to be perfect this time. Settle, I will stand my ground. She's got to be perfect if I'm gonna let her in. Have a repeat of
just what to say when I'm feeling all alone. Oh yeah, she's not gonna always get it right. No, she won't. But I bet she looks cute even in the middle of a big fight. I need a girl to whip me in a shape. Oh, sugar and spice and kisses all alone. What's gonna make her a 10 out of 10, a 10 out of 10.
I like that kind of like where, you know, like the chorus stays the same, obviously, and you kind of like, you're going one direction, and then all of a sudden you kind of twist it at the end where you realize.
Yeah.
But the chorus still makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But you realize like it's got a little more message to it than you originally thought or whatever it is. There's a
yeah.
So I like the kind of that kind of formula for a song like that. And
it's got a twist at the end, just yeah. Like a, just like a movie.
Yeah, a little sixth sense on you.
Yeah,
it's like a little. But yeah, no, great song. It was and again a little more of the love song type of, you know, from you.
Yeah, lovey dovey stuff. You know. You gotta slip one of those in every once in a while.
yeah. You mentioned guys like Mayer and stuff. Are you think are those guys pretty influential on what your writing style and stuff, or do you have other guys that you really admire as far as the writing and things?
Yeah, I love John Mayer. I used to be a huge, like the first album I wrote, Roots, which is on Spotify and stuff too, it was very Mayer influenced, and I still love John Mayer, but as a songwriter I've kind of went into more of the Americana, I guess, singer songwriter style. So I have a lot of influences. Chris Stapleton's obviously one, Will Hoag, Stephen Kellogg. These are guys that not a lot of people know about, but
over, I love Will, man. He's one of my favorites.
Are you going to the show next week? I'll see you there, man.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Or this, it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll be there.
Well, if you have a time machine, you can come with us if you're listening to this, because, go see Will whenever he comes to your town, because he's one of the best.
Oh my gosh. His songs are amazing, and I started listening to him right around the time I was, was writing Fight or Flight, so he was a huge influence as far as songwriting and stuff goes. I've seen him, I think this will be my third or fourth time now that he's come through St. Louis since then, you know, just in the past like 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Stephen Kellogg's another one. He's a great singer-songwriter. I love James Bay. There's a couple songs on the album that are in a little different direction, like Fight or Flight or Live Your Life. They're a little more electric sounding, and so James Bay, he came out around that time, and I can pull inspiration, I guess, from anybody, you know.
Well, that kind of mentioned him, Mayer, though, because, like, I feel like that guy is a great example of an artist, because, you know, I kind of broke through as a pop artist,
mm-hmm.
Did John Mayer Trio stuff, and mm-hmm. doing more R&B blues, put out... an Americana record.
Yeah.
He's touring with the Grateful Dead now. Like, I mean, the guy's done everything in music.
Right.
but it's all still John Mayer. So it's like, it's just kind of cool to see a guy that's not afraid to take a chance and go in different, all these different sounds and doing different things. And
absolutely.
And he's still got his fan base, every, you know, that stick with him. So
yeah, he's kind of, like him or not, whether, you know, his music or whatever else, he is kind of almost like a model musician type where, I mean, I think he broke through when he was 24 or something and came out with Room for Squares, which was more of a pop album.
Right.
And then, so that gained him, obviously, a lot of fans, got real popular. And then since then, he's Continuum, I think, is still my favorite album that he's done. And then he's kind of went country and all this, and he makes music that, it's not really a fad, like it just lives on, like it's just John Mayer, you know what I mean? And he's been doing it for a long time now, and yeah. Like you said, it's just John Mayer. Sure. It's weird. It's how that works for him, but he's made a great career, obviously.
I did really like Born and Raised.
Yeah, that was
kind
cool.
Of more Americana thing with Queen of California, right?
Yeah,
was the hit on that one.
Yep.
Kind of, but yeah, it was like, you know, it felt like a Allman Brothers or whatever, you know, a lot of that kind of influence in there, like, it's just a roots kind of a record, you know, like it was just, it was fun, man.
Yeah. It's a good example. It feels like he writes about where he's at in his life, you know, and that's cool. I love it.
For sure. Yeah. That's why I really admire about him. I'm not a huge fan. I do respect him. I think he's an incredible talented guy. But, you know, I just like, it's just kind of crazy to think that he's able to do it all.
Yeah.
You know, so
he's a killer guitar player too.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think, it is kind of funny too. I've got some friends that are like diehard Deadheads and kind of didn't really understand John Mayer playing with Grateful Dead and like, you know, just like, cause they kind of pictured him as this pop kid.
Right.
And then he gets out there and then they went to go see Dead and Company and all this stuff or whatever. And they like, they totally get it then, you know, but like they realize the guy is a super talented guitar player, like,
right,
and he can play anything, and he played, you know, I think with him, he tends to play the song, you know, he knows his role in that group and plays, you know, he's not trying to make it the John Mayer thing or whatever, so, but anyway, the people, I think, kind of have one, you know, definition of what he is, and like, didn't realize that, yeah, he can do about anything he wants to do.
Yeah, right, so. He's just an all-around good musician,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So we got another one we wanted to share too. This one I thought was cool. With you shared a little video, a little teaser of this one online. Chase Me in the Dark, and I thought it was fun. And but at the time, you didn't have the ending to it. You said you were like, oh, that's all I got right now.
Yep.
And but now you've finished it up.
Finished it up. Yeah. Sometimes I like to. I like to say I'm a professional idiot on Facebook. So, so every once in a while I'll get bored or whatever it is and throw up some little video like that. And I hadn't quite finished the song, but I wanted to share it. I love getting people's feedback. That to me, like, tells me if I'm on the right path or if it's a good song. So, yeah, I threw it up and then. It didn't take long after that. I finished it, and it's one of those fun songs that, like, this is my favorite time of year, the fall right now. I love like the just the weather and you know whatever. And so I guess it's inspired me to write more happy, feel good music. And so this one's just about, you know, fireflies and chasing each other in the dark. And it's just a fun song. So I hope people like it. You know.
Yeah. Definitely.
Notice me for all I am. Touch me like no one can. And chase me in the dark where the fireflies they grow. And tell me. Caught a glimpse of the moonlight in your eye. You make me feel like I'm shining so bright.
life in the night when we're all by ourselves. Well, chase me in the dark where the fireflies take a glow and tell me everything that I should know. 'Cause I just caught a glimpse of the moonlight in your eyes. You make me feel shining so bright. We travel far.
You ever get a, like, kind of going back to Will, you know, he received a lot of success. Now that people are starting to take notice because he sold that Even If It Breaks Your Heart to a young band and stuff, which, you know, worked out. They made a number one single out of it and stuff. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I was listening to that song for years, and I love it. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, country radio picks it up and makes it a number one single and stuff. And, you know, have you come across any kind of those opportunities yet, being able to kind of shop around any of these songs or do any of that kind of stuff? Or?
No, you know, I that's something I haven't quite figured out, I guess. Usually the songs I write are for me, like, to play and stuff, but I know there's a lot of opportunity out there to write songs for other people and stuff, and that's almost, to me, like a whole new skill, because you have to learn. Like, for me, when I write a song, it's like it can pop up anywhere for something I'm going through or just seeing or whatever, and it's like, okay, you write this song for you. But when you're writing for other people, it's like a whole new craft almost. And my buddy Joe Bazzelli, he's great at, you know, I think he's kind of more into that type of thing, so I'll send him songs and he'll give me feedback and you know, tell me, well, if you want to make it more commercial, or, you know, do this, you know, or whatever. And then I kind of make a choice, like, well, do I want it more commercial or do I really care? And, you know, so, but no, not yet. I would be open to it, though. I would love to write for other people, or if somebody was interested in my song to sing, you know.
I mean, I think the same thing with Stapleton. A guy put in tons of years being co-write on all these songs. Like, I mean, you look at his list of songs, I mean, every one's like a number one country single.
Yeah.
And finally broke through on his own, doing his own record and stuff. I mean, he's been playing, you know, with Steel Drivers and Johnson Brothers, and so he's been playing music forever, but it's like he never really made it as his own, on his own terms. But you know, it's just kind of crazy. Some of these guys just keep writing songs and nobody knows their name. And
He was in the songwriting world for a long time, and I just listened to a podcast of him the other day, and he said something about he's written enough songs to where he could make records the rest of his life and never have to write another song.
Right.
Just from his catalog of songs. And it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. So
There's another guy, Dallas Davidson. He's like that a lot too. Like, the guy who wrote about every number one country single on the radio.
Oh, wow.
He writes with Peach Pickers, Red Atkins.
Oh, cool.
And Ben Hayslip, I think is his name. They're a Nashville songwriting thing. But those three guys have wrote just a laundry list of hit singles and stuff. But he's one of my, I love his singing too, though. He recorded a record, a lot of those songs that he also been performed by everybody else, but he did his versions of them, and and it was just really cool to hear how they sound from his voice compared to what you might have heard on the radio and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Right. But Chase Me in the Dark, I feel like, is definitely one of those, like, you know, whether your voice or somebody else's voice, but, I mean, it's a great song.
Oh, cool.
And thanks, I feel like deserves to be on the radio and be heard, so...
Cool.
Yeah, man. So I would, like,
as long as I put the Elvis effect on it, like I did in the video. So, yeah.
Also, mentioning Joe, we want to say thanks because he's kind of helped kind of bridge the gap here, helped introduce us to each other. So
absolutely, Joe Bazzelli is the man. Yeah. If you don't know who Joe Bazzelli is, then I don't know how to help you. You should figure it out.
Yeah,
no, he's a cool dude.
Great guy, doing big things right now. So keep an eye out for Joe Bazzelli.
Heck yeah.
He's working hard to write some good tunes also.
Great songwriter. Yeah. Great dude in general. So yeah, definitely. Thanks, Joe. I'm definitely appreciative for all he's done.
Yeah,
he played back at the Songbird Cafe back in January, I think. And he's like the coolest dude because you only get like 6 songs. And this is like a big deal in St. Louis to get invited to the Songbird.
Yeah, that's a neat place.
Yeah, so it's in the round. You sit there, you play with, you know, 3 other musicians, so it's 4 total. And the room just circles around you, and there was like, I don't know, there was probably 100 people in there or more. So he gives up one of his 6 songs and asks me to come play one of my songs. And so I, you know, obviously did it, and I went up and played a song called The Sweetest Girl that I'd just written at the time, from that, the owner came up and asked me to play the Songbird like 6 months later or something like that. I don't know. So, like, Joe's done a lot for me in getting me a lot of shows and this podcast. And I was just on a radio show this week that he set up. So he should be like my manager, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
All right.
I should start paying him.
Yeah, man. Well, speaking of shows and stuff, we do have a date. You can come out next Thursday, September 21st, over at the Wolf. Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier that it'll be 7 to 10, and you're splitting the night with Jordan Gonzalez.
Correct.
And doing mostly originals that night.
Yeah, mostly the originals. We'll probably go back and forth a little bit, and we might throw some covers in, but it's a cool atmosphere. You know, you can have some dinner. They got some great craft beers and different things and stuff, and just relax and listen to some music. So
yeah. And for more dates, check out Seth Brand Music on Facebook, Instagram, and, of course, SethBrand.com. And subscribe to the YouTube channel, too, while you're out there. So
for sure.
Keep up to date. Keep plugged in what's going on. But we have one more live acoustic song we wanted to share. And this is another pretty brand new one, right? Falling Out of Touch.
Falling Out of Touch. That one is on the record.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that one's on the album. Yeah, it's you know, just like all the other songs on the album. tells a story, but no, it's, you know, it's anytime you lose touch with someone that was a big part of your life, it's kind of a shocker to you, and that's what this song's about, and just kind of navigating all of that and finding yourself without, you know, that person. And again, another sad song disguised in kind of a fun little format. So.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Another day, I'm fighting more of myself along the way. And even though this one gets on my nerves, I can always find the time to. Built a bad hand. As time goes by, it helps me to understand that even though I might not be alright, I can make the most of tonight. And now we fall out of touch. I never things I've always wanted to. I got new ink. Sometimes I wonder what you might think. It helped remind me that I'm on my own. For the first time I'm feeling kind of. Myself in shape and I'm feeling good. And if I wanna write a song about you, that's exactly what I'm gonna go and do. And now we've fallen out of touch. I never dreamed that I could get someone I love so much. Oh, what you do, what you gotta do. Just left me here without saying goodbye. So now I'm falling out of touch. I never dreamed that I could get someone I love so much. Oh, just do what you gotta do. So now that you're gone, I'm do all the things I've always wanted to. Falling out. Touch. I never dreamed that I could get someone I love so much. Oh, what you do, what you gotta do. So now that you're gonna do all the things I've always wanted to.
I've kind of told a story here, but it makes me laugh every time. But like, I got to see Aaron Lewis over at the pageant a couple of years ago now, and he's kind of gone from Stained to more of a country thing now. I mean, he's still got an incredible voice, but it just kind of lends more towards a little more country music background behind him now and stuff. And so all those Stained songs were super depressing,
right.
Super sad songs. And so when he was playing, he played some of those, and then he was kind of getting into some of his newer stuff. And he's like, so I fucked up and I wrote a happy song. Here it is. And like, I was like, and it was just, one of the funniest thing, cause it's like, how to think that he considered it a mistake that he wrote the happy song and stuff. It's like,
yeah, that's funny.
But it worked out. I mean, like, he's doing well with that stuff too. But
I always say I have a gift that I can sing pretty much any song and make it sound depressing. It's a weird gift. I could sing somebody happy birthday, and by the end of it, they'd be in their car, like, drinking whiskey and crying in their palms in their hands.
Sure. I mean, I guess that's a gift too, man. Like, just because they're. Yeah. I'm a sucker for a lot of that soup, like, I consider myself in my personal life very happy, but I do listen to a lot of dark, sad songs,
yeah.
And, like, just, they're fun for me, like, just, it's almost like I'm sure a similar thing for you for writing. It's almost it's a therapeutic,
yes.
To get this stuff out there, get these thoughts out of your head kind of thing. And
yeah, I mean, I love a good rock song, happy songs, too, but yeah, that's what got me into, like, really felt when I fell in love with music. The only way I can describe it, it was therapy for me. So mm-hmm. I definitely connect with that. They're almost easier to write sometimes, because when you're going through it, through mm-hmm. whatever it is you're going through, it's like you have so much to kind of get out, and I might not be the best talker in the world or like to talk to people about my problems. I don't really share it too much, but in a song, it's different for me. It's like the only way that I can kind of put it out there without feeling weird about going into the details, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, about what I'm going through or whatever it is that's on my mind. But you know, you put it in a song, and for some reason I can just put it all out and just go for it, and it doesn't it's not as intimidating that way, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah,
we're gearing up for the new record. You know, what are you thinking for the, looking for early 2018, or what do you
yeah, I'm kind of playing around with ideas. I had thought maybe I'm gonna do like a batch of songs at a time and just release them slowly over the next year or so. So maybe, you know, record 4 songs and put them out, and then the next, over the next 3 or 4 months, record another 4 songs. And so I'm kind of playing around with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would like to have some stuff recorded here in the next few months and just see where it goes, and hopefully have a next album, or you know, sometime next year, 2018, yeah. would be great. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of going that route, just kind of mm-hmm. singles or EPs or whatever, just kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because then you always have music coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to put out a whole album and then wait 2 years.
Yeah.
So you can kind of always be putting out something new for people.
Sure.
So
I mean, as a fan, I know I'll listen to a record, no matter how great it is. I mean, I can revisit it any time, but like, you might put out 15 songs and they're all fantastic, and I listen to it and I'm like, oh, that was cool, when's the next one coming out? You know, it's like, you're yeah. no matter how good it is, you still want the next one. You're right. Still excited for something new.
Yeah, I got several artists right now, I'm waiting for the next album to right. come out. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, you know, so. So I think keeping it, you know, having like, you know, like I was saying, like 4 or 5 songs or whatever, it's easy to digest, you know, kind of that, nothing gets lost in that too. Like, you can kind of focus on this particular collection of songs.
Yeah.
It seems like sometimes when you put together a full length, I mean, you know, some of these songs that don't deserve a little more attention sometimes yeah, get they lost.
Kinda, yeah, that's a good point. They kind of get lost, you know, mm-hmm. when you got a batch of 13 songs.
Yeah.
You know, some just get lost. So. Yeah. Yeah, that, I'm kind of playing with that idea. I might put out like 4 at a time yeah. and just, you know, see how that goes. It sounds fun that way, because I have an obsession for recording mm-hmm. and like putting music out, so that will kind of like satisfy my obsession with that, to be doing that, you know, all right. the time. So
yeah, I mean, unless you're like Pink Floyd and you're putting together some big concept album, you know, kind of thing, or whatever, where all flows together.
Yeah, I'm not that smart.
But I mean, like, you know, in our modern music today, everybody wants to buy singles, you know, so it's like,
yeah,
I think that's probably a better way to sell music and keep people excited about you the whole time, you know, all the time kind of stuff. And
yeah, for sure.
So
with our short attention spans, that sounds like the route to go.
Yeah. You mentioned recording, and I thought it was fun when I posted your picture online promoting your appearance. A couple of my buddies, Corey and Pat, commented on
yeah.
there, and like, so you did some recording with those guys,
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, I used to. Well, when I lived in Sullivan and was playing in bands and stuff, then I guess when I started writing songs and playing in bands, like, we wanted to record, but we were too poor to go to a studio. So I was like, well, I'll, like, you know, get some cheap recording gear.
Yeah.
We'll do it ourselves, you know. And so we did that, and so that's how I came up and learned how to record. And then before too long, it's like, hey, you know, this other band, you know, they want to make an album too. So you just do it. And a lot of times I was doing it for free back then, whatever it took. But yeah, so eventually I kind of became the recording guy.
So that's sort of where the love of it started, though. Like, is that kind of where you realize, hey, maybe I can make a career out of this?
Or? Yeah, I guess once I started writing my own songs, not just in the bands I was playing in, but just kind of my personal songs that I wasn't showing anybody, because I wouldn't sing either. I just wanted to play guitar. I wouldn't sing in front of people. It made me sick to think about having to sing in front of somebody. So I wouldn't do it. But I'd write these songs, and so I started just with a little cassette player, like a regular dual cassette player. And I'd pop, you know, a cassette in side A, and I would record the drums with like one Radio Shack mic hanging over my drum kit, and then I'd flip it over to side B, and I'd overdub that to side A while I played guitar, and I would just switch them back and forth and keep recording and layering on, and of course by the end of the song you couldn't hear the drums, they were so washed out, sounded horrible, but that's how I got into recording. And then I ended up buying some digital gear and ended up on Pro Tools, and it didn't take long, man, before I was like so hooked on it, and just, you get into it because it's hard to make stuff sound good, like, you know, to mix and record bands and then make it sound like the stuff you're hearing on the radio. But it was like this new quest of mine. I was going to figure it out, and I'm still trying to get there, but you know, I ended up going to Webster and doing audio, and it's a love of mine. So
did you do your own record, or
I engineered it and mixed it and I played the drums on it and acoustic and some electric stuff, and then obviously vocals, but I had some guys, I brought some people in. Rick Gray played a lot of the electric parts and steel parts and stuff, and Ryan Svoboda did bass, and I had some other people kind of come in and sing a little bit. Megan Smith sang a song, and so yeah, I brought some people in, and it was fun.
Yeah, is that I don't know, I just would imagine that would be very difficult, you know, being the talent, being, you know, writing, and you're performing, and then to have to edit your, you know, produce your own record and stuff, and all that. Like, I mean, I don't know, I like, because obviously you're going to be your own worst critic, you know, and like, but I think that, you know, might be like sometimes where people benefit from having a third party or whatever involved, where to, or like somebody else can put an outside, you know, view on it and stuff.
Yeah, that's invaluable to have somebody that you can, like, if I could work, like working with a producer or something, that you can bounce ideas off. You don't have to wear so many hats. Right. Yeah, for Fight or Flight, I did a lot of that, and it's funny because when we first started, I wanted to take a live band into the studio and record the album that way. I thought that would be really cool, so I did. I put together these musicians, been at a studio in town, and I was like, I'm going to engineer it. You know, I got this, and I'm going to play and everything. And we get to the studio, and we're setting everybody up, and I'm running cables and all this, and like, we were having some problems with some of the gear and whatever, and it was like 6 hours later, finally, we were like set up and ready to start recording. By that time, I was so aggravated, I was so like just out of the moment. Like, we started playing, and I could not get into it. It turned out horrible, and we recorded 4 songs, and I ended up throwing it all away and just trashing it, and was like, oh my gosh. So yes, having an engineer there would have been so much better, to where I could have just been the musician for a day.
Right.
But anyway, I guess I didn't learn too well, because then I came back and did the whole record myself in a different way. So
well, it worked out, though. Like I said, the record is incredible. I really like it a lot. So pick up your copy today. And again, Fight or Flight on iTunes, Spotify, SethBrand.com. And for physical copies or shows, come out to the Wolf on the 21st.
For sure.
But yeah, do you think you're going to do anything differently besides maybe the way you release it, going in towards the new one? Do you learn any from your mistakes then?
It's funny. I've been thinking about the best way to do it, and I've got a few ideas. I haven't quite settled yet. Once I settle on it, it's kind of like when I get tattoos. Like, I'll think about it for a while and a long time, and then as soon as I know what I want, I'm out the door and going and getting it. So that's probably what I'll do for this album. Once I figure out what I want to do, I'll be ready. So,
and speaking of that, I noticed you had sound waves there on. Is that one? I saw it was like online where they actually play music now.
Somebody just mentioned that to me a couple weeks ago. I wish I would have known about this when I got this. No, this is just me actually talking into a microphone, and I said Fight or Flight, which is the name of the record.
Oh, nice.
And then I printed out the waveform of me saying that and put it on my arm. So
I don't know if it's for real. I have never seen one in person, but apparently you can like, I guess, scan them through your phone app or whatever, and
somebody was telling me about that a couple weeks ago. Like, hey man, is that one of those I can scan and like plays on my phone?
All right.
Like, what?
Yeah, I was like, it seems just kind of crazy, but
yeah.
My wife has a tattoo on of it's Garth Brooks, The Dance, and she has like the music notes for it.
That's like my all time favorite Garth Brooks song ever. Yeah. Almost like favorite song ever. That I love it.
Yeah, it was pretty personal to her and her father and stuff. So she when her father passed, she tattooed it on her and stuff. And but yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, he's we got to see him last year. See Garth play over one of the 8 shows or whatever he did it in St. Louis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a good time. Man.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, it was just cool, you know, to be there. Like, I mean, he's, especially for a guy who, like, took so long off or whatever and to come back and still, still have, you know, put on these giant shows, sell it. Like, I think he sold out like 8 shows in a row.
Of course he did. Yeah. It's Garth Brooks.
Right. At, like, and you got to think, too, man, that's like, it was like $100 a ticket or whatever, you know, something crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, man, that guy made probably $1 million or whatever, like, just from right here in St. Louis. And
oh, man.
Something like that.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And he gets a, and his, you know, wife's with him. She opened the show, I think, or something.
Wow.
Anyway,
they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, so they tour around together and doing stuff. And same thing with Chris and his wife, Chris Stapleton. She tours with him and stuff, playing in the band. And so at least they keep their family, you know, involved. And
that's great. I think in the podcast he mentioned like they take their kids all the time with them on the road, and it's just like a little family vacation all the time. I guess that'd be cool.
So that'd be all right, making money and getting to hang out with your family and all that, so.
I mean, I appreciate even just a free meal when I play. You know, maybe one day I'll get there. So.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you doing this, man. It's been a lot of fun getting to hang out and share some of these stories.
Absolutely, man. It's been great.
Yeah. So, again, come out 21st to the Wolf. It's Baldwin, right?
Yep. Out Baldwin off Clayton Road.
Yeah. And keep an eye out for more dates and songs and all kinds of stuff.
For sure.
Coming soon.
Yep.
So. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.